Where is the newborn king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to do him homage. God manifested his divine Son in two principal ways, supernatural revelation and natural revelation. Sometimes we forget that, and we don't distinguish between the two of them. Supernatural revelation means all the visions, the locutions, the prophecies, whereby God manifested himself up to the birth of his Son. So God revealed himself to Adam and Eve, to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Moses. He establishes the kingship in Israel. He gave them priests and prophets. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son into the world. This is the supernatural revelation of God into the world. No other religion makes this claim, that God entered into our world and reveals himself. No longer man groping in the darkness, but God reaching down and revealing himself and his plan. But there's also a second kind of revelation that's called natural revelation. And again, the light of the star is again a primary means of God revealing himself to us. This natural means. So natural revelation means the order that God placed in creation. And there's all kinds of order which is here, which manifests his will and his plan. It's how God operates in the world. It shows what he blesses, not only with regard to the natural laws of physics and science, but those are actually parts of God's law. But also, there's a moral law. We can know that it's wrong to steal. We can know that it's wrong to kill. We can know these things, to kill the innocent, if you will. All of these things are actually manifested in the supernatural revelation of the Bible, but they're actually confirming what's already in us, baked into us by nature. We can know that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. That's part of the natural revelation. So these things come together now with regard to, especially this day, with the light of the star leading the wise men to the Christ child. Now, God is more powerful than we think. He's more powerful than we could ever imagine. When you begin to look at creation, one time I was hunting up in Colorado. I was up at 8,000 feet. It was a moonless night, and it was dark, and I had no flashlight. Not a good plan. But there I was, up in the dark of this mountaintop, 8,000 feet up. And overhead, I could see the Milky Way, a giant band of stars going all the way over the top. Magnificent. Hardly noticed here in the cities. Up in the mountains, it's brilliant. And in fact, what happened is there was enough light from those stars that I was able to walk on this bare path and find my way back out. The light of the stars was that significant. And so we find this Milky Way that God created for us. This Milky Way may have 100 million stars, and perhaps there's 200 million galaxies just like it. And the Dr. Wernher von Braun, the German scientist who helped put a man on the moon, he says, there's too much order in creation not to believe in God. All of the order that he created that holds things together is not accidental. It's not pure chance. It's actually a plan, a divine plan. And we can see this in so many ways. So this giant external, this giant macro way of looking at the world is God working in the world. There's also a micro way. Now, if you think about the tiniest things of all, let's look at a nickel. You know, a nickel that really nobody uses coins much anymore, but a little nickel like that. It's composed of elements of nickel, and each atom of nickel has 28 protons, 31 neutrons, and 28 electrons wheeling about the nucleus. Now, if you were to find there what this is really like, you'd find that nucleus of protons and neutrons would be like at the 50-yard line of U.S. Bank Stadium, and it would be right there in the middle, and these protons would be ping-pong balls way out at the fringe of the entire stadium. That's the way that they orbit around. The whole thing is its own solar system. One little tiny atom like that is a whole solar system. And we find that in a nickel, now by the way, they're only 25% nickel, there's 1.3 times 10 to the 22nd power of atoms in one nickel. And each atom is its own solar system. Can you imagine the micro world and the macro world like that? Each of them like composed of solar systems. And God created it all. And he did it all for us. The atheists, they want to try to explain everything without God. The atheists claim that there is no God, but they have no way to explain the most fundamental difference of all, and that is life. They can't account for life. The difference between something animate and inanimate. And well, they play with things like that. The scientists take the material universe and they make things out of it, which is all beautiful. but they can't create life. And when they do try and play with genetic materials already capable of life by God, they combine them together in various ways. That's fine in animal husbandry, not so good when we're playing with humans. But they can't make life. They can't cause life. It's beyond their power. Perhaps the biggest difference in the world is that between that which is living and that which is not living. The difference is infinite. And it all points back to a God. And this almighty, all-powerful God loves you. He loves me. He created us not to be a lump of coal, but to be a living, breathing person with an immortal soul that will last forever. That's the magnificence of our God. That's what he's done. And we see him not only in supernatural revelation, we see him in natural revelation doing wonders all around us. And we see what he blesses and what he can't bless. This is where your little faith experiences happen all day long, when you find that if you're walking in the light, if you're living in the truth, if you're speaking the truth, you find that doors open for you. God opens doors for you. You meet the right people. You read the right book just before you need it. He plans the path of his faithful ones. And those who choose to walk in darkness, in deceit, dishonesty, disloyalty, the doors begin to close all around them. And they can experience the darkening that comes from walking outside of God's plan. You see, he really touches us even in the natural realm. Not just the supernatural, but the natural. And so these two types of revelation, supernatural and natural, are at work all the time in our lives. We need only slow down and take a look. Now, Mother Church is our teacher. And the church takes not just supernatural revelation, but natural, brings them together and applies them to the issues of each age. Every age has its own problems, and the church develops its teaching based on natural revelation and supernatural to deal with the age that we now live in. So Pope John Paul recognized the age in which we're living now is terribly plagued by a sexual revolution. He looked upon this revolution. He saw what it was doing to us, that it destroys marriage, destroys family, destroys children. He saw that the whole thing was founded upon contraception, led to a hookup culture, a porn culture, then we've got abortion, then we've got a gay culture and a gender confusion, and all of these things are rooted in the first step, which was embracing contraceptive attitudes and practices. These are brand new, really, in our world. 60 years ago was the start of it. We get to look back on our lives and the lives of those around us, and we say, how has this world changed because of that one thing? What has it done to us? How has it undermined us? Because Jesus is going to teach us through his church. So Pope John Paul comes along and he addresses this, again, using natural and supernatural revelation. And he saw the sexual revolution for what it was. And he began with the human person as an image of God. Again, that's that supernatural revelation. And he looked at the meaning of the union between man and woman. And he gave us a wonderful teaching called Familiaris Consortio. In other words, you and I, especially in the intimate touches belonging to spouses, are not just molecules touching, but persons. And we're actually touching the soul by means of those intimate actions. And that's why something more is going on that the world doesn't recognize. That's why people misuse those and hurt themselves and hurt one another. So John Paul writes this, consequently, sexuality, by means of which a man and woman give themselves to one another through acts which are proper and exclusive to spouses, is by no means something purely biological, but concern the inmost being of the human person as such. It's realized in a truly human way only if it's an integral part of the love by which a man and woman commit themselves totally to one another until death. So this is what he's doing now. He's challenging the ways that we get ourselves together. Now, he's going to call out the lie now, the lie of the hookups, the lie of adultery, the lie of cohabitation, and all the other misuses. He's going to say the total physical self-giving would be a lie if it were not the sign and the fruit of total personal self-giving, in which the whole person, including the temporal dimensions, is present. If the person were to withhold something or reserve the possibility of deciding otherwise in the future, by that very fact, he or she would not be giving totally. What happens when we misuse our sexuality is we get broken hearts, broken relationships, loneliness, and you begin to see the abandonment of old age, no longer surrounded by spouse and children gathering around them to escort them through old age, but now loneliness of old age. All of this is the fruit of sin. Sin brings death into the world. It brings loneliness. It brings isolation. And so the church is teaching us. Now again, it would always remind us, and I've often said it, that natural family planning is the way. It accepts our fertility for what it is, that we're always fertile. We choose when we act. And because of that, we have a guiding of our fertility, but not an absolute control. Once we take absolute control, we kick God out. That's what contraception does. It kicks God out. I want it my way. I want it when I want it. I want it only my way. But natural family planning is going to embrace even those moments when sometimes we ought not to be together because we can't afford a new life at this time. But also there's going to be little surprises along the way. Perhaps one of those will be the one that escorts you into old age. So don't be disappointed. God is the Lord of all these things. So the church is guiding us in an age that has lost its way. And so think about that. What I want you to do is, first of all, trust the church. It's not here to make life difficult. It's to recognize the difficulties that are present, guide us through it so that we can be happy, holy, surrounded by loved ones, and blessed all of our days. That's the church's hope. That's what the church wants for us. So John Paul used natural revelation and supernatural revelation to give us the antidote for our day. We have to be the ones wise enough, humble enough, faithful enough to try it out. Now there's another big issue which has come out in the world. It has to do with economics. Catholic social teaching, again rooted in divine revelation and also natural revelation, gives a great answer for us. Well, the rise of the industrial age led to a radical capitalism way back in the late 1700s and the early 1800s, and it was destroying people. We find that people were moving to the cities, the industrial age was upon us, and people were working so hard and for nothing. The children were working, there were no child labor laws at the time, and people were working so hard that they were actually hanging themselves by night from the street lamps. It was a horrible thing. And when people saw how bad things were, they turned the opposite direction towards communism and socialism. And there we find that the claim was that you won't own anything and you'll be happy. Sound familiar? Klaus Schwab said the same thing. And the socialism and communism destroys people. It destroys the natural rights to private property, destroys the right to build a family, destroys the right to hand on your possessions to your children, destroys the right for you to have a free associations and build a labor union and participate in the economy. Socialism and communism takes all that away. And we find that those two were great evils, and the church came back and it says, no, you're an image of God. You have this dignity, the right to private property. The church rejected not capitalism, but radical capitalism, which destroyed the workers. And again, the church thoroughly rejects socialism and communism. So, what's happening now? Tragically, in our age, the church still has the answer. We need to dig into it. But communism and socialism are both forms of collectivism, and they're with us right now. This is a tragedy. These are evils. The government cannot be your mother. We don't want a nanny state. We don't want to lose control of ourselves. And the problem is these collectivisms, forms of communism, socialism, are with us. So Bishop Robert Barron wrote this week regarding Zoran Mondami, the new mayor of New York City. And in his inaugural address, this is what he said. So here on Bishop Barron, there was a line from Zoran Mondami's inaugural address yesterday that took my breath away. He said he intended to replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. Barron goes on to say, collectivism in its various forms is responsible for the deaths of at least 100 million people in the last century. Socialism and communist forms of government around the world today, Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea, are disastrous. Catholic social teaching has consistently condemned socialism and has embraced a market economy, and people like Mayor Mondami, they characterize it as rugged individualism. In fact, it's the economic system that's based upon the rights, the freedom, and the dignity of the human person. He concludes, for God's sake, spare me the warmth of collectivism. My friends, if we don't listen to the church, if we don't allow the church to teach us, if we don't trust the church, we could wander headlong into another communist, socialist revolution, and the freedoms that our forefathers won for us could all be lost. The very core is strong family. That goes back to our first discussion about the proper use of our sexuality. Strong family is the thing which keeps us together and guides us. It guides our work, it guides our family, it guides our nation. But without a strong family, we find ourselves catering into a strong government, letting the government run our lives. And that's no way to be. Socialism and communism erodes the family. It's caustic. It destroys everything that it touches. And you and I want nothing to do with that. So be careful with the way that things are going right now. We need the church. We need the church to guide us. Because with the church, with natural revelation, with supernatural revelation, the church will guide us into all truth.